Hey there, Live Like Your Nail Color gals. No matter what nail color you're wearing today, or none at all, I want to remind you that you are kind of a big deal. Last episode's conversation with Erin King, international keynote speaker and author of You're Kind of a Big Deal, Leveling Up by Unlocking Your Audacity, was so good that I decided to divide it into two parts so we can really take it in and benefit from Erin's energy, insights, and funny phrases. In part one, she started to show us how to step into what she calls your big deal energy. So you can finally step into that life you've dreamed of living online, offline, and just all the time. If you haven't listened to part one yet, I highly encourage you to do so. But first, before we dive into part two of our conversation, have you taken my quiz to determine your nail color persona? All you have to do is go to livelikeyournailcolor.com/quiz, answer a few questions, and in your results, discover your specific nail color persona, your built-in strengths, and how to tap into those strengths when chip happens. Again, go to livelikeyournailcolor.com/quiz. Now let's continue talking with Erin.
Tired of so much chip happening? Discouraged by so much downer news? Weary from chronic crisis? Don't let the chips keep you down. Welcome to the Live Like Your Nail Color podcast, where the tips of your fingers and toes are ready to inspire you to not give up and to keep creating the business, career, and life you want. In each episode, we flip the chip and let our fun nail color with that crazy fun name cheer us on to remember our strengths, embrace the power of choice, see life as an adventure, and know resilience is only a touch-up or change-up away. Get ready for a good time and a good laugh with your host, Mary Foley.
One of the things I hear again and again, and I myself have wanted over the years, and really have made a point of working at this, is confidence. You know, I want to feel confident. I want to be confident. I want to act confident. But you say you really need more if you're going to go after your big dreams and have your big deal energy. You need audacity. So what is the difference between audacity and confidence?
Ooh, so good, Mary. Okay, so confidence, I think we're clear on, right? It's the sense of when you walk into a high-stakes situation and everything in you is like, I've got this, right? And if you look at, this is a huge generalization, obviously, but historically, for the most part, men tend to be a lot better at being confident. And one of my favorite gals ever who you have to have on your podcast, her name is Cindy Gallup. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cindy Gallup. She's incredible. Her tagline is, I blow shit up. Okay. She's amazing. She's literally, Google her and watch her YouTube videos. She had one that just went viral. She's, I don't know how old she is, 50, 60, she's ageless, who knows? And she is just doing this whole video about body confidence. And she's wearing just her undergarments. And she is just unapologetically, she's the ultimate. She's in my book. I call her Lady Catwoman. I think it's chapter 8 or chapter 9. And she's the first gal I ever saw on stage talking just like, she had balls. I mean, quite frankly, she had balls. And there was just this heavily male-dominated audience. And she was just fearless. I never saw anything like it. And she talks about this in her social media. She says that guys are better at bullshitting their confidence than we are. And as women, if we bullshitted with half the confidence that men do, it would be a completely different landscape personally and professionally. And I retweet the heck out of that. And so audacity, to answer your question, the difference is that audacity is daring greatly, daring boldly, which of course, okay, Brene Brown, we're here for it. Very glamorous, right? Daring greatly, daring boldly. Here's the caveat. Even if, and this is where women stutter step, even if it might shock or even offend.
Ooh, that's
where we're like, oh, whoa, cancel culture. I don't want to shock or offend anybody. I don't want 20 years of my life to be ruined in one tweet. And I get that. Here's the thing.
And we're not prepared for it.
That's we're not prepared for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what you're saying earlier.
That's right. And so if we can do a better job of unlocking our audacity, there has to be a certain element where you are prepared that when you do quit your job, start the thing, leave the activity, challenge the authority, when you do push against the programming from your childhood, when you do buck culture, like for example, my husband and I are child-free by choice. I have 36 first cousins, you know, Irish Catholics. We've had this conversation a million times. Okay. I have so many nieces and nephews and so many grandchildren or godchildren. I love all my babies. I cannot wait to see all them, you know, at Christmas here in the next couple of weeks. Auntie E is ready to do the babies. I am into it. However, we made the choice that we were going to not have children, which is very scandalous. It's 2022. And I promise you, being child-free by choice is the new gay. I promise you. Like, people are not okay with it. They're not okay with it. They want to change your mind. They want to help you. It makes them uncomfortable. And so I have learned that it's unbelievable how much an unpopular choice will make everyone else feel so uncomfortable that they don't know how to process it. They don't know how to respond. It's a whole other episode about the responses that we've gotten from this over the years. I have learned now to just say, if it's in God's plan, and move on from there, because no one can fight with that.
I love that.
It just makes it easier on everybody.
Same choice too. And I remember my mid-30s going, am I just less of a female? Because I don't really feel drawn to having kids. I like kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a little bit of board of directors moment, so to speak. You know, I tell my sisters, oh yeah, we already knew that. I was like, how come I was 11? You're going to be a great aunt. Well, then in my, when I got to you know, even my early 40s, I would still have some women say, you know, that's not too late. You could still have a child. And I was like, are you kidding me? And and it was like their last ditch effort or something like that. Now in my 50s, nobody asks me that, you know, like, are you going to have kids? But what changes, Erin, is I'll meet new women and they'll be around my age. And these are generally not necessarily in business networking or career environments. They're just like in community every day kind of thing. And the women, my age peers, will say, oh, great. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Do you have kids? And I'll say, and in fact, this just happened a few weeks ago. And I said, no, I don't. Now I say it that way, like, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, no, I don't. It's a factoid, right? Cricket, because she doesn't know how to respond and have a conversation with someone who doesn't have kids. And so I was like, that's a little sad. So I just bring up something else, ask another question about something. But I found that, like, that's the entire world she lives in and made some assumptions. Now, I'm not criticizing her for making assumptions. Statistically, it's reasonable. Okay. But it does change from, are you going to have kids, to it's not too late, to do you have children, and where are your grandchildren doing? So it just is different age and stage. Same thing.
Well, I love that you shared that, Mary. And at the core of that conversation, anyone listening, insert your big choice here. Okay. Maybe you are a mom, right, but you left the church, or maybe you are now a stay-at-home mom, but you were, previous to that, you were always the big executive. Or shoot, maybe you're an expat. You left the United States. You live in Mexico. Whatever is your big choice, at the core of this is this sense of permission or authorization that society feels entitled to weigh in more dramatically on a female's big choices, it seems, than oftentimes a man's choices. It's just a double standard. It's just a reality. And so I know for a fact that my husband does not get the same type of questioning that I do, does not get the same kind of feedback. And so because your audience that you serve, Mary, is women, I think it's really important for them to hear this. It is never going to be as easy for you or I to make a choice without questioning and pushback and commentary and arguments. And so instead of being surprised every time, instead of being upset or allowing it to make us feel insecure or stutter-stepping our momentum, instead, we have to go in with our armor up, with our big deal energy activated. And keep in mind that their reaction to you has nothing to do with you and your life, and everything to do with how your big, bold choices are making them feel. Their reactions are just reflections. And so once you can set that free and begin to prepare yourself that, look, going your own way, it can be a little bit lonely. It can be a little bit scary. It can be to the point that you might sometimes question going with everyone else just so you have some friends, just so you don't have to defend yourself in the grocery store line to the stranger at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Like, whatever it is, we have to start to really make decisions that allow us to live in the fullest essence of who we are at our core. And one of the best ways that you can do this, because it sounds glamorous, but it's much sexier hypothetically than it is on an everyday actualization basis. And so one of the strategies that I share in my book that I use all the time is a strategy that I call caping up so you don't cop out. Caping up so you don't cop out. It's borrowing someone else's cape, someone else's superpower, someone else's strength, just to help you cross the bridge from who you are today to who you desire to become tomorrow. I'm not saying don't be yourself. I'm not saying act like somebody else. I'm just saying there are certain situations in life where someone comes to mind for you, and you're like, oh my gosh, Mary would know exactly what to say right now. Or, oh my gosh, Phil would have the best comeback to that. Or, you know who would never be scared to do this? So-and-so. And we all have a gal or a guy in our lives where they have a certain skill set that maybe we feel either a little bit envious of or a little bit jealous of. And we're taught never be jealous, but I have a chapter in my book called Jealous Can Be Your Genius. Because jealousy can be a little emotion, a little flicker, where deep down, the part of you that's afraid to admit it thinks to yourself, gosh, could I try that on? Could that be me? Could that be possible for my journey on this planet? And so dismissing jealousy as all bad all the time, I think is a big mistake. And instead leaning into it a little bit and saying, well, I wonder why that came up for me. What is it about their life, their choice, their decision? Or what is it about their style, their strength, their superpower that has me drawn to it in a way that makes me curious? And so I encourage all my audiences. I'm always like, you know, whose cape can you borrow? Who, and maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's someone that you don't know that's like an influencer or a thought leader on the internet or a favorite author or a speaker. Who can you look to and have it on deck? Have it at the ready. Because the worst thing that happens is when you are in these high stakes situations, you're not ready, you get knocked off course, you get shaken up, and afterwards, you're upset, you're shaking, you're defeated. And then what happens? 2 or 3 weeks later, you think of the perfect thing you could have said or the perfect thing right. You could have done. There's a word, right. So I forget what the word is. But if you have that cape on deck, you can quickly throw it on. So for me, it's my grandmother, my Nana. She's 78. She's sassier than ever. Came over from Ireland on a boat by herself, which is insane. She was 18 years old. So she is my favorite person. She's the one that always would tell me, love, it is better to be someone shot of whiskey than everyone's cup of tea. And I always remember that phrase. And every time it's like the haters or the bullies or the jerks, it could be on YouTube. It could be at a client meeting. It could be on the super heavily male dominated corporate team that you are in charge of training, whatever it is. I always think, what would Nana do right now? And just for that scary moment where we're so tempted to shrink back in to our small, I think to myself, you know what Nana would do? Nana would say this or she'd do this. And it just helps me to put my shoulders back and put my chin up and walk confidently forward. And what's interesting is by pretending that I'm ready for it, by using Nana's cape, my own genuine cape begins to appear and my own strengths do surface. And I do remember that I am a damn big freaking deal. So listen up or get out. And it's incredible because then everyone, once you really believe it at your essence, the vibe is contagious. And then people will treat you the way that you do truly believe you should be treated. And we've heard this, it's harder to do than it sounds, but being prepared and not surprised is the biggest key to unlocking it.
I love that one point, and everything that you've said really supports that. Because, you know, in the live like your nail color vernacular, chip happens. Right? It happens in life. It happens in our nails. It happens in our careers. It happens in our business, happens in our relationships. And yet we seem surprised. Well, of course it's going to happen. And sometimes it happens even more, or it seems to, as we're going towards that big dream, almost like there are roadblocks thrown into our way or other speed bumps. And so this idea of being able to be resilient, you know, when chip happens, how to bounce back. And so being prepared is part of it. Like, don't be surprised, mm-hmm. You know, chip happens. Mm-hmm. So what? All right. Now what? Go ahead.
Well, great. So I'm sorry. So there is a point here that a lot of my gals in my training courses, they'll say, well, we're trying to manifest the best possible outcome. So we don't want to focus on what could go wrong, because what you focus on expands, right? So this is sort of the intersection that I walk, because I really believe that thoughts create things. I believe that if you walk into a room of 5,000 people, like I did 2 days ago, and you truly believe in your heart that everyone there really wants to have a great time with you, everyone there wants you to win. They want to have a laugh. They want to have a cry. They want to have a think. If you really believe that, the minute you take the stage, you have already, like an athlete in college, you visualized winning the game. You visualized the goal. And so what you focus on does expand. Yes, that's one side of the intersection. But the other place that we have to straddle, we don't hyper-focus on, we don't think through in detail with the corresponding emotion of the rejection, of the pushback. But you do have that emergency fund. You do have that backup flashlight. You just have those couple key elements where when it happens, you're maybe a little bit, it's not ideal, but it doesn't freeze you in place and completely destroy all the hard work and effort of you pushing this boulder up this mountain that you've been doing. It's the difference between surviving in the woods and not. And so I really feel that that it's understanding how to exist with one foot in each of these roads. And I would say, I mean, we're not talking about focusing all the time on like, everyone's going to reject me, people are going to judge me. No, it's just a small little emergency reserve kit of like, can you cape up when you want to cop out? Can you pay attention when you feel a little jealous? Try to understand why. Can you embrace healthy competition versus unhealthy comparison? And can you make sure that you believe you are the biggest damn deal that ever walked this earth, with the caveat of having a board of directors of some truth tellers that can help you when you begin to lose your way? These are very simple, small little emergency kit elements that you throw on the back of your bike or your camel or your car or your horse or however you think about yourself going through this life. And the rest of your energy, you are focused on truly believing in your big.
Wow. Excellent. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. In fact, the big deal energy, to me, that's the big deal energy, because the idea of big deal energy really resonates with me of, it's not even so much that I got to have all this attention that I'm a big deal. It's more like that personal, my own personal, if I want to say competition with myself, is, have I stepped into the biggest potential that I have? Have I gone after that dream that I've had? Have I not shirked back from going, you know, I've never written a book, but I've always wanted to. Have I even tried, you know? And when saying yes to that, you're going to get some, are you crazy? That's ridiculous. You know, what are you going to do once you write that book? And you, this thing of having that emergency fund, I like how you say to go, be prepared for that. Don't focus on it. Just be prepared for it. And you're right. I think that what happens is we'd rather just focus on the affirmations and not, therefore, the negative stuff that's going to come our way. You know. And I like. There's a phrase years ago that just popped into my mind as I think about these kind of things. Like it's like this. Like an egg on Teflon, let it slide right off. Okay. So I always think of myself as like having this kind of this vest on that's made of Teflon, and someone's thrown an egg at me and it just goes, and it slides off. In other words, I see it coming. I'm not necessarily happy about it, but it just, I don't let it stick. Right.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good visual. Yeah. It's interesting. I think for a lot of us, it comes down to figuring out what is your particular block, because I think as coaches and authors and speakers, it can be tempting for us to lump everyone into these big, vague categories around people being afraid. So everyone's scared of this and that. And yeah, I think a lot of people have fear on a lot of things, but I don't think fear is really the primary reason that a lot of us don't lean into our big deal dreams. I think it's just that comfort is so beautiful, and people, comfortable feels good. I mean, would you rather wear a skin tight bandage dress or a pair of sweatpants? Like, that's an easy answer.
That's an easy one. Yeah.
right? I mean, so it's not that we're afraid of the bandage dress. It's just that sweats feel so damn good sometimes. And so I think understanding what is your particular block. So if you want to be a sweatpant person, then go all in, wear a sweatsuit, have a few pairs from the dry cleaners, but own whatever it is that success looks like for you and not the gal on Instagram. And your big deal dream does not have to match someone else's. Does that have to be writing a book? Doesn't have to be keeping up with whoever on social media. It needs to be what feels good for you. Because I'll tell you this, I had an experience 2 years ago during the pandemic, and it was so traumatic. We had this little baby puppy that was like the love of my life. Her name was Stevie Nicks, and she was only 8 months old. And walking home from the grocery store, she was hit by a car and died in my arms right in front of me. And I don't have human children. So she was basically like my first experience as a mother. So for me during the pandemic, it was trauma, it was grief, it was loss, it was tragedy, it was awful. And I lost my way like I cannot ever tell you. And it was the day I finished my book actually that she was killed, which was weird. So what happened through this journey, Mary, was that I made the most money I'd ever made in my speaking career that year. We did so many virtuals. We launched, we worked ourselves to the bone just out of, you know, that fear to survive, because we had all our speaking engagements canceled, as you know. So it was like, we launched the course. We're working 18 hours a day. It was crazy. Made the most money ever. But what was interesting was at the end of that year, when I reviewed all of my big deal goals, right? Fiscal, financial, all these things. We had knocked every single goal out of the park. And yet it was the worst year of my life. I was the saddest I'd ever been. And yes, it was from grief and trauma and loss. But what I realized when I was going into the next year and making my goals was that your to-do list is nothing without your to-feel list. The to-do list is nothing without being clear on the emotions that you want to accompany those accolades. Sometimes you finish the book, or you get the keynote speech, or you get the promotion, and what happens? We get on the hedonic treadmill, we see the view, we climbed Everest, and it's a quick moment of celebration. Then we set the pin higher. We just jump back on to higher, bigger. Oh, you did a marathon? How about an ultra marathon? How about an Ironman? It's constant. And so what I learned through that terrible experience that I finally, thank goodness, have healed through, and our little puppy now today, who's turning 2 next month, is Stevie Nicks' sister, Miss Betty White. Different litter, same parents. So we were lucky enough to get her sister, and we're so blessed to have her. And she's just the love of our life. But it's interesting because I changed my goals after that experience, that really emotional experience. And this year, now we're in November of 2022, January of this year, instead of making my goals fiscal and numerical and mission driven and accolade driven, I made them vibe driven. Like, I want to feel this way when I do this. When we do this, I want to feel this way. And by focusing more on the feeling that accompanies it, I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful and so blessed and grateful to have come out the other side of a really dark season. That was just one incident. There was like 4 other things that happened, because when it rains, it pours. That's life. But coming out the other side of that dark tunnel and feeling light and feeling that good big deal energy now, I'm so grateful for, really came down to being crystal clear on how the success was going to feel along the way, and not just the pinnacle, not just the point, not just a trophy, but how was this journey going to feel energetically and emotionally? Because that, to me, I can tell you right now, this year has felt like more of a success than any year. And we haven't made as much money as we did 2 years ago, but the energy we feel is so much bigger and bolder. And that, to me, is how I define a big deal dream and a big deal success. And so what is that for you? I mean, everyone's different. You might have a different idea of it, but the idea is that you have to be clear on yours, not mine. Not Instagram girls, but yours. So what is it? Do that work. Pay attention. You honor that. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the last so many years about authenticity and being authentic and being authentic to ourselves. I mean, so much is like show up authentically and stuff, but we have to know who is our authentic self and that those authentic dreams. And that's one of the things I'm hearing. That is the focus of authenticity here, so that you go, well, this is my big girl dream. This is my big deal dream. And really holding on to that and being ready for the naysayers and stuff, but I love how your book has tools, and they're so fun to remember, you know, caping up so you don't cop out, you know, am I being a bad listener? You know, that's another one, you know, can I be jealous? What is that saying about my genius? You know, I just highly recommend that every gal listening right now go on Amazon and buy this book, because I think it's going to be one of those ones you pull off the shelf and you look at again, and you might be one of the women who they go, oh, what would Erin do in this situation, right? And you're like, it's right there. It could be. But you know, here's the thing: when you're saying like people can spur us on, well, this is the we can also do things to spur ourselves on. Which is why I love about nail color. Getting back to that again. On the tips of our fingers or toes, we can deliberately put on a color. We can give it a name, and we can use it to say, to spur us on in that moment for the big deal dream and the big deal energy we're going after. So my question is, if you could create a name for a nail color to help inspire us to level up our audacity and go after our boldest dreams and this big deal energy, what would the name of that nail color be?
That's a good question. I have two.
Okay.
The first would be gratitude attitude.
Okay.
And I think the second would be someone's shot of whiskey.
So someone's shot of whiskey, a la Nana, right? Oh, wow. Okay. I love that. All right. So the first one, gratitude attitude. So we haven't talked a whole lot about gratitude. So that's obviously one of the really powerful aspects too of sustaining a big deal energy, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because as women, you know, we're always said that we're very intuitive, that we have women's intuition. And it's true. I mean, we do have that inner voice that is talking to us all the time. But it takes guts to go with your gut. It takes big guts to go with your gut. And our intuition is individual. It's not collective. Society, your mom, your besties, your friends, they don't know what your inner voice is telling you. And so I think that one way that we can become better at paying attention to her and honoring her and listening to her is being grateful for her. We're oftentimes grateful for our morning 5 to 10. Okay, you're healthy, you know, grateful for your partner, your dog, da da da. Okay, we all know the gratitude practice. But I think one element that's missing from a lot of our gratitude practice that really does contribute to our big deal energy is being grateful for the intuition that we have, being grateful for our inner voice, being grateful for that powerful guidance. You know, I think we do such a great job focusing on, okay, well, you know, thank you, God, or thank you, universe, for this and this and this and this and this. But I think if you can almost treat that intuition, treat that guidance, treat that voice, treat that North Star, inner compass, whatever you want to call it, with the same amount of gratitude, like, hey, thanks. Thanks for that guidance, for showing me where to go. By honoring her and being grateful for her, I think that she speaks to you more. I think it becomes easier to go with her without questioning it. And I think ultimately it helps you to steer a life that is truly the one that you dream about from, and taking it off the pages of your journal and into reality.
That's just one of those mic drop moments, except please don't drop your mic right now because we can't record the rest of this podcast, but wow. Wow. I mean, we can keep talking, Erin, but we can't, because this podcast needs to wrap up and I know you've got a next things to do. So what I want to put a link to your book in our show notes so that everyone can click on that if they want to grab it really quick. But for those who want to reach out and connect with you further, what's the best way they can do that?
ErinKing.com. Very simple.
Very simple. And I know you're all over social, so look that up too. I know what it's on Instagram. You're Ms. Erin King, is that right?
Mrs.Erin.King. I'm actually only on Instagram. I have my team manages my LinkedIn, and then I don't do Twitter or I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. We do YouTube, but I'm not really on there. So the only one that I actually listen and respond and play is Instagram. So come find me over there.
Okay. I will put a link to that. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been really fun. And I still think you're kind of a big deal. So stay that way, please.
Thank you, Mary. And I love your nail color concept. It's so clever. It's so empowering. And I'm just honored to be here with you today and spend this time with your incredible community. So thank you for inviting me. And I hope I can see you live, maybe in Williamsburg or in California or somewhere very soon.
That sounds great. Thanks. And now for the after party I call Flip the Chip, where I take a few moments to highlight something my gal pal shared that can help us all flip a challenge or a difficulty that's holding us back into something more positive that helps us move forward. What I want to highlight today is what Erin said about feeling alone or isolated or misunderstood when you lean into your big deal energy. You should expect those moments. There's nothing wrong with you. It's that some others are not comfortable with you showing up big or making the choices you've made. You can also be prepared for those moments by doing what Erin called caping up so you don't cop out. Gotta love that phrase. It's borrowing someone else's cape, superpower, or strength long enough so you can cross the bridge between who you are today to who you desire to become tomorrow. So think of at least one person you admire. Perhaps it's a good friend, an author, an expert, or a professional or community leader. You don't have to know them personally. You just have to admire them. What would they say in a tough moment? What would they do? So identify this person or several now so you can quickly throw on their red cape when a tough moment comes your way. And of course, you can use your nail color to cheer you on by simply putting on a new color and giving it the name Gratitude Attitude, or perhaps someone's shot of whiskey, as Erin suggested, so that every time you see your fingers or toes, you're reminded to be grateful for your big deal energy, knowing that your energy is indeed someone's shot of whiskey that they fully appreciate. You can make good choices to create the career, business, and life you want, one step, one nail color at a time. Look forward to being with you next time on the Live Like Your Nail Color podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Live Like Your Nail Color podcast. Ready to live and laugh more? Know a friend who could use some of that too? Then subscribe at livelikeyournailcolor.com or your favorite podcast app and share this episode right now with the person who popped into your mind. Together, let's flip the chip to be stronger, smarter, and happier.